Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to Living Better in San Diego. I'm Vicki Pepper. Safety Net Smart Cyber Choices is a public safety program within the San Diego Police Foundation conducted in collaboration with the San Diego Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Their mission is to make San Diego safer through internet safety and awareness education for children, educators, parents and guardians, and community leaders. On the line to give us some tips is Wendy Waddell, Program Manager for Safety Net. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Vicki. I'm so thrilled to be able to talk about our program with you.
Wendy, tell us how the Safety Net program got started. And why?
Sure. So Safety Net actually was formed in 2008. And the reason our program came to be was the San Diego Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force that you mentioned, or ICAC, as we like to call them, had reached out to the San Diego Police Foundation basically saying, we need some help with keeping our children safe online. Their whole focus, the ICAC team's whole focus, is getting out there and trying to get those predators that are targeting our children online. But what's happening is these predators, their numbers are huge, and unfortunately, our officers don't have all the resources that they need to go after every single bad guy. Each ICAC agent is carrying anywhere between 80 and 100 cases individually. So that gives you an idea of how much of a problem this is. So in 2008, they reached out to the foundation and said, listen, we need some help. We need some sort of educational program that will maybe stop these problems at the source, rather than us having to play catch up by going after these guys. So we came up with the idea for Safety Net, and the way it was originally packaged, it was a kind of a train the trainer type idea where we put together a bunch of information and distributed it to educators throughout San Diego County, primarily teachers in classrooms. And these teachers basically said, we don't really understand what all this information is, nor do we have the time or the bandwidth to teach this in our classrooms. So then we pivoted, and we now are a program where we have presenters that work directly for the Safety Net program at the foundation that go into schools and present this information to students of all ages, from kindergarten all the way up through high school, as well as concerned adults, could be parents, guardians, anybody in the community that has a child that they want to try to keep safe online.
How and why did you personally get involved?
It's kind of funny, actually, how I got involved in this. I have zero background in law enforcement or in this field at all. I have a background in the art. I have been an actor my whole life. And what's interesting, when they made the pivot with the Safety Net program to start hiring presenters to go into schools, one of the thought processes was, let's reach out to performers. Let's reach out to actors. They are good at memorizing information. They're good at speaking to large groups of people. So this offer came across my desk through a mutual friend who had heard about the program and said, you know what, I think I know somebody that might be really good at this. I applied, and I was initially hired as a Safety Net presenter. So I was one of those people that went out to visit the schools and community outreach programs and educated everybody on this information. And that was in 2016. And then in 2020, the gal that I was reporting to, my boss, left to go work for another nonprofit, and I was asked to take over the program. And wouldn't you know it, about 2 weeks after that happened, the world shut down with COVID. So I have been working with the Safety Net program since 2016. But yeah, again, it was kind of a roundabout way to get there, but I absolutely love what I do, and I recognize the importance of what it is that we do.
What do you like most about your job?
Oh, gosh. Absolutely, it would be connecting with members of the community and seeing the understanding on their faces and hearing the feedback that, oh, I did not realize that this was something I needed to be aware of. Or parents in particular, when they say, I had no idea how dangerous the internet could be if I am not monitoring my child and keeping an eye on what they are doing online. I think the fact that we are out there, our CEO, Sarah Napoli, has said on more than one occasion, we're out there saving lives. And it sounds like hyperbole, but I truly do believe that that's what we're doing. If we're educating a group of children on safer practices online, on what to look out for and how to be more cognizant of what those red flags are, as well as their parents and guardians, then I do think we are saving lives. And that is so important to us, and it means the world to me.
And what do you like the least about your job?
The amount of information I have, the data, the stories I've been told about predators, the acronyms that I know, things like CSAM, which stands for Child Sexual Abuse Material, understanding what sextortion is, what the new trends are in terms of human trafficking. The amount of information that I now have is not information I ever had before, nor is it anything I ever thought I would know about. I had zero knowledge of law enforcement prior to going into this job. And it's not information I think anybody would want to have swirling around in their brain. But I'm grateful for the people I do work with at IACAC and within the foundation that also share this information, and we can commiserate together. But it's probably the least attractive part of my job is just having all of this information.
Is there a certain age of child that's targeted more than others? And is there a gender that's targeted more?
So what we're seeing in terms of what is called sextortion, which is exactly what it sounds like, it is when a child is extorted online using sexual imagery, whether that's a photograph or a video, what we're finding is that age group tends to be teenagers. We're looking at probably starting around 13 up to about 17. And we're finding that initially it was girls that were targeted more, but now we're seeing a real uptick in young men being targeted. We still see across the board primarily the amount of sexual abuse material that is being shared and traded online is of young females, but the sextortion side of it, the young people that are being extorted for money or more imagery, we're seeing is primarily young men.
I'm speaking with Wendy Waddell, program manager for Safety Net. What are some of the games and apps that you consider the most risky for kids?
So I would say the game that we have seen a lot of predatory behavior happening on would be Roblox. It's a game my own child has played, and it's one that is really geared towards children of all ages, even young kids, 8 years old, younger than that, seven years old. And it has the ability to chat with other players. And any online game or app that has the ability to chat with somebody, you run the risk of there being a predator on the other side of it. Doesn't matter if it's something that is marketed or geared towards young people. That is what predators are looking at. They are looking at, where are the kids? Where are they spending the majority of their time? And a game like Roblox, which is one of the most popular across our country, is where a lot of this predatory behavior is happening. As far as social media apps, we see a lot of dangerous behavior happening on Snapchat. And the reason behind that is the conceit with Snapchat is when you post something or send something, it doesn't live for very long. It's there for a short period of time and then it disappears. But the reality is people can save this information and it doesn't disappear from the internet. It disappears from a device, but it doesn't disappear from the internet. So a lot of our kids are engaging in inappropriate behavior on that particular app because their mindset is, well, it'll disappear before my parents see it or before law enforcement sees it. But the reality is it is being saved. It is being shared and forwarded. And unfortunately, a lot of predators are living on that app as well, reaching out to our kids because they know this is where the kids are misbehaving.
And then are there some games and apps that are safer? And if so, what are some of the features of those apps that make them safer?
You know, that's a great question, Vicki, and I wish I could say X, Y, and Z apps and games are the safer ones. The reality is anytime there is the opportunity to interact with another human being via the internet with a game or an app, there's a danger. The best advice we can give as far as the games and apps our children utilize is making sure they have strong settings, strong privacy settings for each of their accounts which means things like making sure you don't have a public account, making sure you set it to private, making sure that the friends that you have on that app or game are people you actually know in real life. They're not people that you've never seen face to face and you're taking those friend requests or connection requests. We want to make sure that it's people you actually have seen in the flesh, and making sure that we're not sharing personal private information on these apps and these games. You know, kids are out posting things about, this is the name of the school I go to, this is what grade I'm in, this is the part of town I live in, or even live streaming where they are at any given time. When kids do that, when they post in real time, they're basically leaving a trail of breadcrumbs for a potential predator to get to them. So there is no one app or game that I can confidently say is safer than others. It's really about making sure that you are putting forth the best safe practices with any app or game that your child lives on.
And what are some other steps that parents and guardians can take to keep their kids safe online?
I think one of the most important things is making sure that you have regular conversations with your kids about what they're doing online. So children have no sense of the difference between the online world and the offline world. To them, there is no difference. And in a child's mind, a person may start out as a stranger, but if your child makes contact with somebody online they've never met before and they start a conversation, well, in that child's mind, that person is no longer a stranger. Now they are somebody I know. Now they are somebody I can consider a friend or an acquaintance. So those lines get really, really blurred. And our children, the frontal lobes of their brains haven't fully formed yet, haven't connected. So they don't understand the long-term effects or the dangers of engaging with somebody online that they've never seen or met. To them, everybody is who they claim to be. So somebody who may present themselves as a teenage boy or girl, that's obviously who they are. It can't be some scary, dangerous person on the other end. It has to be who this person claims to be. So having regular conversations with your kids about the apps that they're using, about the games that they're playing, about the people they're interacting with online, making this a dinner conversation, making this something that you talk about once or twice a week is a huge step in the direction of knowing what it is that your kids are doing online. Also, I would strongly recommend, I know a lot of parents don't like this piece of advice, but I cannot recommend this strongly enough, is having a presence on the apps that your children also utilize. So having an account on things like Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok so that you can not only keep an eye on what your kids are doing, but it also shows your kids a sense of solidarity. Look, I'm interested in what it is that you care about. I want to be a part of the world that you encompass. It really sends a message to your kids. I care about what it is that you do, and I want to be a part of it. Now, the reality is, are we going to catch everything our kids do? And I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say, yeah, if you do X, Y, and Z steps, you're going to catch everything. The truth is, no, we aren't going to catch everything. But parents that are communicative, open, honest, and that are really welcoming to their children about any topic they want to talk about, they are more likely to have kids that will not only not engage in inappropriate behavior online, but will be more aware of what those dangers are that they need to avoid online. And making sure that no topic is off limits. We don't want to make our children feel embarrassed about certain topics, especially when it comes to things like sexting or sextortion. If we can be open and honest and receptive to them about those particular topics, which, let's face it, are very uncomfortable, then our kids are much more likely to come and talk to us about anything. If we can cover the uncomfortable topics, then everything else is so much easier.
Has cybercrime increased since the pandemic? And how has this correlated to physical crime as it relates to children?
Oh, gosh, has it ever. So we have seen over a 300% increase in the amount of cybercrimes since the pandemic, since lockdown. And basically what that means is not only were our kids, well, let's face it, everybody was quarantined for that period of time, and our children were doing distance learning. So not only were they online for school, the majority of them, this was their socialization as well. They couldn't see their friends face to face or engage in activities offline. So the amount of online utilization with our young people just went through the roof. And the downside to that was not only were our kids online more, which not always the healthiest thing, but they were sitting ducks for these predators. Our predators knew exactly where our children were going to be, and they were there 24/7. So the amount of cyber crimes that we saw coming in through our ICAC office, as well as on a national level, just skyrocketed. And unfortunately, we haven't seen that go back down because our kids are now more trained to be online due to the pandemic. They're online even more than ever. How does that translate to offline behavior? Well, for a lot of these predators, their goal is to get your child to meet them in person so that they can do the most harm. It usually starts with enticing your child to submit a photo or video of them in a compromised position, and then will escalate to getting your child to the point where they can feel comfortable and safe enough with that person that they will want to meet them in person. And once that happens, the danger is just exponential. So the more we can educate and try to keep our kids aware of how they should not be interacting with strangers online, the more likely we are to keep them out of harm's way offline.
You mentioned sextortion earlier. Can you tell us about some other definitions like grooming and enticement and what those mean?
Sure. So enticement is the act of basically getting your child's attention, getting your child to start that conversation with them, start that relationship with them. And usually it is on an app or a game where your child is spending a lot of time. The predator will most likely present themselves as somebody close in age to your child, whether that's another teenager or maybe somebody slightly older. It will usually be backed up with a romantic intent, the idea being, I saw your picture, I think you're really cute. You look like you do all sorts of really fun activities that I like to do. They will find out as much as they can about your child prior to reaching out. And usually it's because our kids are putting so much information out there on social media, it makes it easy for these predators to start the act of enticement by already giving a lot of background information, such as, like I mentioned, where your kid goes to school, what sort of activities they're involved in, whether that's sports or music or art or what have you, and they will use that as an in. They will then make your child start to feel comfortable, make your child feel heard, cared about, respected. They will usually use what in the teenage world is a common enemy, which is the parent. And they will usually use that child's frustration and anger and aggression towards their parents at that particular age to their advantage. Your mom doesn't understand you. Your dad doesn't care about you, but I do. I get you. Then the grooming process is all about making that child feel comfortable enough and safe enough that they can start getting what it is that they want from that child, which is usually a video or a photo of a sexual nature of that child, and or getting them to meet them in person. So the enticement is luring the child in, and then the grooming is making them feel comfortable enough to give the predator what it is that they want.
I've been speaking with Wendy Waddell, program manager for SafetyNet, which is a public safety program within the San Diego Police Foundation. What advice do you have for parents and our community and children?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that could be a whole nother show in and of itself. But I would say some quick tips. Be very mindful of giving your children devices. It's so easy now to just give our kids an iPad or a phone or an Apple Watch. And yes, it's almost necessary nowadays that we can keep track of where our kids are. We can have access to our children via text or phone if we need to. But making sure we lay down some laws as far as what our kids are allowed to do online and how much we monitor what it is that they do. I would strongly encourage parents to invest in a parental monitoring app. We have partnered with OurPact, which is a parental monitoring app that is based here out of San Diego, and they have a bunch of different levels of plans and different costs. to help to make sure that you can keep track of what it is that your children are looking at and where they are online. That is huge for parents, just to be able to monitor without necessarily making the child feel like, well, my privacy is being invaded every single time my mom or my dad goes on my device. But I would also say, as a parent, that is your right. Making sure that those devices aren't left alone with your child behind closed doors at night, unsupervised. That is where a lot of this dangerous behavior is taking place. Parents seem to have this idea, if my kid is under my roof, they will therefore be safe because they are under my lock and key. But the reality is, the internet is akin to dropping your kid off in the middle of Times Square. The amount of stimulation and the amount of interaction that can take place under your very nose, there's no way to measure it. So to make sure that you have these devices under your care at the end of the day, so your children don't have them unsupervised behind closed doors, that's another huge thing to do. And like I said, I would encourage these conversations with your children on a regular basis about what they're doing, who they're interacting with, and having that presence on those apps, it gives you the opportunity to look at the people that they are friends with. And if there's a name you don't recognize, talking to your kids about that. Could be there's a new kid at school. Could be this is a complete and total stranger your child has never even met. And for kids, making sure that we try to convey the message, parents are not the enemy. I know that's easier said than done, but that we are there to keep them safe. And the reason we want to talk to them and the reason we want to interact with them online is to keep them away from these predators. And making sure that we don't share too much information, that our kids don't share where it is that they're going in real time. They're not posting the names of their schools. They're not necessarily taking pictures of themselves in compromising positions. Even things like taking pictures of themselves in their bedroom, even if they're fully clothed. A lot of times there can be identifying marks within a child's bedroom or outside a child's window that can make it easy for a predator to locate where your child is. Keeping that to a minimum and not having conversations with people they have never, ever met online at all. Easier said than done, I realize, but if we can cut down on the amount of interaction they are having with people they have never, ever met, this is going to help to put a tourniquet on the amount of danger that we're seeing come through San Diego ICAP.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Where can we go to get more information?
You can visit the Safety Net website, which is smartcyberchoices.org. We have a lot of great information, and I am in the process of doing some updates on that website as well. Technology and trends move faster than I can, but I do the best I can to keep up as quickly as I can. Through that website, you can reach out to us to schedule presentations for your school, your church group, your community group. There is no group that is ever too small for us to speak to, and we would love to educate every single child in San Diego County. So please feel free to check us out at smartcyberchoices.org. And I would also encourage parents to check out the San Diego Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. I believe their website is sdicac.org, but don't quote me on that. But you can absolutely Google and find them.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. And thank you for what you are doing to keep our communities safe.
No, thank you so much for having me, Vicki. It is absolutely my pleasure. And I hope that this helps another family to stay safe online.